What's up, everybody? We are back from our two-week hiatus, thanks to the new year and obviously Christmas. But we are back. Did miss some big events to cover. If you've been sleeping under a rock for the past few weeks, then I guess we should tell you Anderson Silva touched his foot to the front of his shin. Chris, I don't think that's something you're supposed to do. UFC Fight Pass was announced, which we'll discuss. And obviously our first thing we need to talk about, probably the biggest news of this week, is Dominic Cruz. Two torn ACLs. Looks like he's finally going to be back. And then he tears his groin. Now, Chris, you said something very interesting to me on what you think he should do, or at least what would be running through your head. You want to share that?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about it and kind of read some different thinking out there and listened to a few different things, I kind of don't think this is the way it should go. But if you're looking at Dominic Cruz, you have to, first of all, you have to be gutted for him. But if I was in his shoes, coming off two really, really, like a long ACL recovery and then tearing your groin, and we don't even know what leg it's on, we don't know if it's related to the knee. I mean, it could have been because of training with the knee. You have to be thinking, I mean, it's a cross that with all my mind, just as a human being, that can my body really take this anymore? And he, considering where he's at and how he's, I don't think that's how his personality is, but it would definitely run through my head. I mean, I don't know if it's, if it was another ACL, I think I would say, you know what, like,
If it was an ACL, like a knee or like
an Achilles or something, or something other severe that was going to take him on over a year, I might consider it. This is a little bit lesser, but at the same time, you have to just think, what is he gonna? I mean, it's not as if the fight game, in 3 years of learning in the fight game, and I think, I mean, you can talk to this better than I can, but even in a 6 month window, you learn things.
In
3 years, where he largely was rehabbing, trying to get himself in fight shape, he's going to be behind the curve in terms of where he's at in his development. Like, the leaps and bounds the two guys that he was going to probably end up fighting, Henan Barao and Uriah Faber, are guys that have both improved vastly in the time since he's been out. And I don't know if the gap was that big between them that his time off wasn't really going to mean anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, obviously, if you're in this sport, if you're fighting, if you're doing any sort of combat sport, I don't think there's ever a point where an injury sort of runs through your head that, man, maybe I should hang it up. I just think that's the competitive aspect of MMA, of sports in general. If you're a high-level professional in a sport, I mean, you saw it with Anderson Silva. He asked the doctor, supposedly, I don't know how factual this is, it could be another hype story, but if it is true, he asked immediately, when can I start training? I think that's the mentality of a lot of fighters. You know, you always want to know when you can train. These little bumps and bruises, yeah, they suck. Yeah, the grind sucks. You know, getting beat up every day, it gets old. But you're in it for a reason. There's obviously something competitive fueling. And you're right. It's a groin. It's not a knee. And I, at least from the research I've read, it may not apply to the groin, but generally when you do suffer a sort of severe knee injury or severe leg injury, the rest of the leg sort of weakens, and there's a higher risk for these types of injuries. If it was a knee, then yeah, I think you do have to address that and say, you know, maybe this is it. And he does have things to fall back on. He's obviously an outstanding commentator. He's an outstanding on UFC Tonight or during the fights. But it's a groin. I think it's something he can rehab. Chris, I don't know if you've done the research. I think it's 6 to 8 weeks or 6 months or...
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know how what the severity is, but it could be up like a 6 month thing. And in terms of with sports, because he's a high level athlete, it's not just when he can. That means coming back to training, which means about an 8 week camp at the lowest for him. And that means, you know, at that point, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because bantamweight's still kind of in the developmental stage, in a transition phase where there's not a lot of high-level contenders. Right now, I mean, based on what they've done, what they did to Michael McDonald, Faber and Barao are just leagues above everybody else right now.
And how about that? You know, it's not just Dominic Cruz, but the balls on Uriah Faber. I mean, 2 weeks.
I don't know if he fought 4 times last year too, which is just.
This is the 5th time in 11 months he'll be fighting.
That's crazy. But, considering he cuts a lot of weight.
You know, I think the thing is, he always looks good though. You know, he's always in shape. I think having Dwayne Ludwig takes a lot of the pressure off of him. He's not a coach so much, so he's not just, you know, coaching, fighting. I think it allows him to focus more on things. He looks outstanding. He looks unbelievable. You know, he's with a guy that has outstanding Muay Thai in Dwayne Ludwig, which has largely been the issue with him, you know, the leg kicks. So this is a big deal for him. He's obviously utilizing those leg kicks. There's no doubt about that. He's working on checking them, and he's still got the wrestling. You know, this is a huge task for him. It sucks that his title shot has to come this way on 2 weeks' notice, but there's, you know, it's a possibility that he could get this, and, you know, he comes in, he takes it. What's that say about Uriah Faber? First off, anyone who wants to complain or say that Uriah Faber gets granted title shots, he doesn't. The guy is a consummate professional. He's continually one of the best. If you're not one of the best, you know you can't continually earn these. You can complain about Chael getting a title shot. You can't ever complain about Uriah when he's better than everyone else in the division. That's all there is to it. Other than the champion, he's better than everyone else in the division. What more can you really say about the guy? But it's not out of the realm of possibility to see him take this. And that would be a huge win. And I think that's more impressive than him or than Henan Barao defeating him that first time.
Yeah, you know, and as much as he kind of has drawn flag in the past for, you know, maybe being gifted title shots, this is one where he's earned it. I mean, even looking back, you know, when he beat, let's say, you know, Scott Jorgensen, it was like, oh, Uriah Faber was going to get another title shot. Well, he went 4-0 this calendar year. He deserves it. But the short time frame that he has between fights here and how much, and just taking the fight on short notice when Barao was in a full training camp, when Faber likely was training, and that gives him, this kind of helps him close the gap a little bit. He wasn't probably in a full-blown training camp right now. He just probably wasn't. I mean, it'd be hard for me to say that he probably was. So we'll see what
now,
we'll see what he's like. I mean, for example, Donald Cerrone fought 3 times and then fought a 4th time in, like, 2011, and he looked flat as could be against Nate Diaz.
What is
your record going to look like?
Let me say what helps. On this card coming up on Wednesday, TJ Dillashaw was fighting. So there's no doubt in my mind that his training was probably kicked up a notch because he was training a guy to fight. So I think that helps, that there was a guy in his fight camp that was preparing for a fight. You know, I think that allows you to get in better shape. But also, you have to look at this. Who are they going to put in against Henan Barao? Rafael Sunsal won a controversial split decision against TJ Dillashaw in his last fight. His previous fights were Von Lee, not a big name. Mike Easton, he's kind of fell off the map from where he started. Issei Tamura and Johnny Eduardo. You know, those aren't big wins. Those aren't things that get you a title shot. Eddie Wineland just lost to Barao. Brad Pickett's at 125. TJ Dillashaw coming off a loss. Mike Easton. You know, you go through those names, there's no one else that had the option. So this was his title shot. It was either that or they took it off the card.
Yeah, and you know, and it's interesting too that they're keeping this at the top of the card, because I still think there's an argument to be made that Faber's the biggest draw, saw the 155. But this fight also did, in their first one, it went headline 149. I think this might be a better overall card, but this fight drew horribly on pay-per-view the first time. I'm kind of interested to see how this fight ends up drawing. That's one of the storylines I'm watching here, because as much as good as he is, Jose Aldo hasn't exactly caught on as a pay-per-view draw. As good as he is, I think the language barrier doesn't help him. You know, he's in Brazil most of the year, doesn't do a ton of American media, so you don't get him as much. And I mean, Faber, as much as he's not a huge pay, he's a star, but he's not exact. I don't know if he's a huge move in the needle pay per view draw. And I'm kind of intrigued to see how this fight kind of does. I think this fight might ultimately sell a tad more than Cruz Barao would have, but I'm not like comfortable in saying 100% that that's the case.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to agree with that. The
I'm not an expert, you know what I mean? But because Cruz in itself was an interesting, like, his comeback was a very, in my mind, something you could sell very easily.
Definitely. You could sell that for sure. The other thing, you know, this obviously has two title fights. That's going to help. Frank Mir, Alistair Overeem, so there's a nice little heavyweight fight. But then the thing that makes you sort of scratch your head is Jamie Varner, Abel Trujillo, I guess, at least in my opinion. How'd that get, you know, so high up? But, you know, not every fight card can be stacked to the gills, so.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Exactly. The other news, last week we had UFC Fight Pass, so kicked off their first event with Tarek Saffiedin going up against... against Hin-Yu Lim. Chris, what were your overall thoughts on that fight? Fight card.
You know, the card itself, I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch from start to finish from the beginning. It wasn't exactly, because of the time, and just, I needed this thing called sleep, and it wasn't exactly, I mean, I wasn't going to get up early in the morning to watch Royston Lee do his thing, you know what I mean? So, I was late to the rise in this card, but as a whole, I enjoyed it, and the main event especially was a really, really interesting fight. You know, Tarek Saffiedin really, really dealt with the size of Lim very well, better than I expected him to. As after the first round, but he did show great fight IQ. And I think maybe ring rust had something to do with that and whatnot, but I also think that there's definitely room for improvement for him. Great fight, not in terms of, not like a fight of the year candidate by any stretch of the imagination, but a very good fight, worthy praise, and I'm kind of intrigued to see where Saffiedin's going to go from there.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I think you have to... his leg kicks are vicious. You know, Nate Marquardt understood that, or learned that. Lim definitely learned that. Saffiedin, you know, a solid win, and depending on the time, I wouldn't be opposed to Matt Brown.
You know, I don't mind that. The guy's going to keep coming forward and push him, but I also really like the idea of the rebooking Jake Ellenberger. I think that kind of makes sense, too.
Yeah, that's...
Although he's a boss.
Yeah, you know, Jake Ellenberger, another nice fight. They definitely need to continue doing strike force against UFC, so to speak, no doubt. But the other fighter, I gotta say, I was really impressed with, Max Holloway. You know, it's obviously nice to see him get back to his winning ways. I think a lot of people forget how young he is at 145 pounds. You know, this kid's a long kid. He's growing into his body, and he's a very talented guy. He's fought some tough guys on short notice. Obviously, Conor McGregor, that's a tough draw. But Max Holloway is a guy, you know, maybe he hasn't put it all together yet, but he continues to impress when he's on.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely got the right body for that weight class. He was very long. He has very, very crisp boxing. We'll see, you know, he just needs to fill out some holes in his game. And, you know, and again, Conor McGregor showed that he's not exactly a top prospect at 145 like McGregor looks like he is. He definitely was out. He was outclassed in that fight. But he also does have a very he's got the right skill set to be effective for a long time at 145. And remember, his debut in the UFC, he fought Dustin Poirier on short notice. Like, the kid's got guts too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when you're getting guys like that, he had, you know, an unbelievable fight against Dennis Bermudez. A lot of people felt he won. The kid's a talented fighter. There's no doubt about that. Is there another fighter that you looked at on this card and that really impressed you?
No. Can I say Royston Wee? I'm kidding. You know, Tetsuya Kawajiri, to me, I think he's past his prime, absolutely, but I do think that he is an interesting guy at 145. 145 has a lot of guys that are very good, but it's got some nice contenders, but he could be an interesting one. Because, you know, I think he deserves a top 10 opponent next. He's been around for a long time. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, if I remember. I want to say it was 2010, New Year's Eve, Yep, December 31st, 2010, right before he fought Gil Melendez in Strikeforce. He beat Josh Thompson at lightweight. The dude's good. I want to see where he goes. And I think maybe I want to see him against Dustin Poirier or Dennis Siver next.
As for me, you know, I know this is a guy that he's had maybe not the best run in the UFC so far, but he looked very good in this fight. Kyung Ho Kang, he's a massive 135er, stands about 5'9", chiseled. I think he's sort of, he's bringing in a new breed of sort of Asian fighter from, you know, the Asia, from, you know, China and Japan. A lot of the complaints we've seen, you know, they tend not to cut weight. They don't cut weight, so they tend to be undersized. He clearly isn't undersized. You know, he's got a lot of strength. He went up against a smaller 135er, there's no doubt, probably a true 125er. But he looked like he had power. He had some nice submission games. Obviously, there's a controversial two-point takeaway, but, you know, the kid looked good in this fight.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. We'll see what's next for him. And, you know, this card, I want to ask you something. This is likely what these cards are going to look like from now on. I mean, the setup of them. Are these things, depending on the are these cards, they're next to not things, depending on the time of the day that you're going to want to watch from top to bottom immediately?
Maybe not immediately. I mean, I don't think that's what it's set up for, though. I don't think it's set up for us in America to watch them immediately.
It's not. And it's not. I understand that.
If it's something where, you know, this was right in the middle of me training, so obviously I couldn't watch immediately. But Sunday, wake up, there's nothing on. Yeah, I'm going to go on Fight Pass. I'm going to watch this card from top to bottom because I like fights. This isn't something that was meant for the casual MMA fan. This isn't meant for someone who only knows the names Uriah Faber, John Jones, and Anderson Silva. This was meant for us guys who know guys like Bruce Leroy. You know, guys like that.
Who know
Tarek Safady. Who know who Lim is, even. You know, that's what this card was about.
And I think as you have guys like Royston Lee, who's a third professional fighting there, this is about getting into the market that they want to get into and getting young guys that they want to develop over time. I think that's what most leagues are about. It's about developing fighters at a young level across the world and getting into markets as many as they can.
Yeah, and that's going to be the ultimate thing.
And putting interesting main events that they can kind of put guys in five-round fights and kind of work their way up that way.
So what's your... Again,
you're also going to get... You're also going to get good fights on Fight Pass. Like, Gustafsson and Manawa is something I want to watch.
So what's your overall impression of Fight Pass at this moment? What's your overall grade so far?
I'm going to give it an incomplete, and that's a problem because I expected to be more comprehensive like they said it was going to be. Because I wanted the first fight I wanted to watch on Fight Pass was the second Mike Brown Uriah Faber fight. And I'm not really sure why that was. I've always had this feeling, and it might have been because back then I was very biased towards Uriah Faber, but I had this feeling that I could score that fight from him. I've always wanted to watch that fight. So I put myself to it, and I put myself that I wanted to watch it. Went look for it, you can't find it. You know, they put a hold on your account when you put it to make sure you can pay when they want you to pay. From what I've seen on Twitter and a couple of different reviews of it, it's very hard to find to cancel it if you want to cancel it. But it's not also what they said it was exactly going to be. It needs to get there soon. So I'm going to give it an incomplete. But I will say this. The quality of the stream was great. It was better than like it is on YouTube and stuff. It was good quality. Like, I didn't really have any issues with it. That part was great, but it's an incomplete overall, and I kind of see that as an issue.
And let me tell you, I've had a field day watching old fights where you can look at them and go, well, no wonder the UFC was nearly banned in America. They just said you might lose an eye. So it's great to go back and watch old fights. I love that. I do have to agree. I think there is a bit of a, you know, an incomplete, not really knowing what's going on, but I think this might be a platform for a lot of things, and there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to see more. You know, I really just want to see WBC Strikeforce That's what I want out of this more than anything. If I'm bored and I don't want to, you know, watch Netflix, this is what I'm going to go to, and I want to see more fights.
Moving on, though, we haven't had some fight picks in a while, and Chris, I hate to refresh your memory on this, but let's remind you how well I did at UFC 168, based on the fact I didn't miss a fight from top to bottom. Just want to point that out.
Can you tell me how I did? Because I don't remember. Because I've been lazy.
You got like two or three wrong. So,
you know, but, considering how far I've gone off the wagon, you know, and you know, I'm gonna this will you know I don't like to make New Year's resolutions because I think they're just for the week, and I think they're just. But I'm gonna say something pretty right here. This year, I will actually track every event of our picks as long as Nikolai sends them to me in email form, so I don't have to go back and listen to us yapping. But if you send them to me, I will track all of them at the end of the year. When I win, we'll have some kind of wager. We'll start with his UFC Fight Night 35.
Works for me. UFC Fight Night 35, headlined by Luke Rockhold, Costa Philippou. Chris, how many you want to pick in this fight? You want to go main card?
You know, I don't want to do the whole thing.
No.
I never.
But you know what?
I'm just guessing.
We'll go top five. Top five. Let's kick it off. John Moraga, Dustin Ortiz. Moraga obviously coming off that failed title shot. Ortiz 12-2, 15th ranked flyweight. Chris, who you got in this one?
Moraga, man. Even though he got whooped by Demetrius Johnson, I think he's a very, very good fighter. I think his length is good. I like Dustin Ortiz. I've watched him on YouTube a few times. You know, and he showed a decent skill set here in his last fight against Jose Maria Tomei in Brazil, but I don't think he gets it done here. I think that John Moraga is still a top five flyweight, maybe, and I think he gets this done pretty easily, maybe a submission.
Yeah, you know, I got to agree with you, and maybe it wasn't the right shot for Moraga. You know, maybe it was a little rushed, but the flyweight division is shallow. But, you know, I don't think he's at a John Dodson, Demetrius Johnson, Joseph Benavidez level. But I think he's sort of that next rung. And, you know, he's a very talented fighter. He's going to be serviceable in that. And I think he gets on the right track in this. As for the next fight, we have Yoel Romero goes up against Derek Brunson. This is a tough one to pick. Derek Brunson, you know, very suffocating wrestling style. There's no doubt about that. But Romero, I believe, wrestled for Cuba in the Olympics. I think that's right. And obviously the man's got massive knockout power. It's tempting. I'm going to do it. Give me Yoel Romero.
Ooh, okay. You know what? I think what really this fight hinges on is Romero's ability to have this fight where he wants it. Because Brunson, who has been inactive for an oddly long time now, he fought in November, but before then he hadn't fought since December. Because he's best when he can take you down and have his top game. Like, Chris Liebman can tell you that the best. And he's, you know, both really athletic here. I'm going to go Derek Brunson. I think Romero, one thing about Romero in terms of his MMA wrestling is that I remember reading maybe Luke Thomas, who is one, if you care about technique in MMA, he might be the best breaking it all down right now. His wrestling for Cuba was mostly defensive, and that maybe that he didn't have a great, you know, shot. And he's definitely explosive, but I think Brunson's probably a better athlete. I think Romero's gonna get point taken down, and I think that you're gonna see Brunson win a decision. But Romero definitely, if he can keep it on the feet, his power. I mean, he lost to Javier Conca, but since he's been at 185 in the UFC, flying knee and punches KO, and then a KO punch over Hani Marks, he's got the power to put it out, but I'm going to go Brunson.
Next fight, we got TJ Dillashaw, Mike Easton. In my opinion, this is a no-brainer. I'm taking TJ Dillashaw. You know, Mike Easton, I think, had a little bit of hype coming around him, you know, a year or so ago. He sort of fell off the wagon. I got to take Dillashaw. You know, Team Alpha Male, who can pick against him at this point?
Yeah, you know, I like Mike Easton. I think he had a lot of time off due to injury at one point in his career. I mean, from 2009 to 2011 when he made his UFC debut. And I just don't know what exactly he's going to bring to this. I think Dillashaw's still a very I know he lost his last fight, but it was close. I still think he's one of the best prospects at 135 pounds to watch as a future contender. You know, right there with Michael McDonald. I think he gets it done. And it, well, let's see what Easton's future holds. This is his last, this season, this will be, that will be his third loss in a row. And that could get him cut.
Yeah, and you know, that's always something, a bit of a risk, so to speak. And, you know, when you run up against a tough opponent like TJ Dillashaw, there's no doubt about that. So I'm taking Dillashaw. However, the co-main event, we have Lorenz Larkin goes up against Brad Tavares. Chris, who you got in this one?
I'm going to go Lorenz Larkin. I like Tavares. I've been high on him since he was on Tough. But I think Larkin, this is a fight where he's pretty much, it's tailor-made for him to win. Because Tavares is kind of a one-dimensional striker. He's got very nice pop in his punches. Larkin throws a lot of kicks, controls the distance very well, is very quick. I think Larkin's going to pick him apart here and win this pretty clearly, as long as his cardio can hold up.
Yeah, I got to take Larkin, too. You know, Brad Tavares, I think he could try to suck you into a brawl. He's got some fun fights under his belt, but Larkin, I think, is a better prospect at this point, and I think he gets the W here. As for the main event, we have Luke Rockhold and Costa Philippou. Philippou did not look good in his last fight against Francis Carmont, I believe. And Luke Rockhold...
Didn't look good in his fight before that, either.
No, Luke Rockhold, well, he was the first TRT knockout of Vitor Belfort. So, head kick, obviously, is not a fun way to go out. But it was a fight that was kind of close to begin with. In my opinion, Rockhold's just the better fighter. He's the better prospect. He's still young. He's going to be here for a while. I got to take Rockhold. I think he has the better overall game, and he has the more diverse striking game, which I think is key.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I want to see if he can put Philippou away. I mean, he hasn't fought, I believe...
Since he got knocked out.
By Vitor Belfort, so he's been off for a while. I want to see what he can do. I think he's got the appropriate distance to kind of give Philippou problems. I don't think Philippou can take him down or finish him. I think Rock will kind of control the distance, wins a pretty clear-cut decision. But I want to see if he can put it away.
I think that's the point. I think that's the interesting point. Can he finish this fight? You know, I think when we see these matchups is sort of what we always have to see. But that wraps up the first show of the new year. Chris, any plugs, any place to find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at CWMWrites. You can find me writesonuclid.com, backdropmag.com. You know, hopefully I'm going to get some more MMA things going here in the new year. That's one of my goals. I want to get some more MMA writing going. Octagon, I'm looking to get a good domain name for our podcast, so look for that in the next few weeks.
And as usual, find me at Nikolai_Gianti on Twitter. Write for the Maximum Fighting Championship, MaximumFighting.com. Check me out there. This podcast, no way affiliated with them, but they do have a fight card coming up January 17th, so be sure to check that out on Axis TV. We'll be back next week after the fights, and we will see you later.